Please be seated.
Good morning, and welcome to worship this morning. A few intimations just before we get started. Firstly, can I just say there's been a few issues with the parking at the garage. Now, normally they're very accommodating for us, but they would just ask that you be mindful of where you park, that there is access down the back and that you don't park in front of the containers so as that the people who that belong to them can get access into them, if you don't mind. That's the first one. The support for the cooperative grant. As you know, we were successful last year in getting the wee grant, and we asked anybody with a co-op membership card if you weren't supporting any other charity and you were happy to support Fort St Paul's, you could phone a number, quote your membership number, and just tell them you want to support Fort St Paul's. It's as easy as that. You can do it online if you have the app on your phone. There are slips available that give you the details if anybody would like and haven't already done it. If you've already done it, that's brilliant, and thank you very much for that. Other things, all our groups are more or less started back. Where Knit and Natter is on tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. The Bible study tomorrow night begins. We're studying lesson number six. If anybody doesn't have the paperwork for that, if you let myself or Harrison know, and we can share that with you before it begins, and the details if you're not sure of the online Zoom account number. Tuesday, mainly music is back on. Now, because of the work that's beginning in the hall, because we're now getting, everybody will be pleased to know we're getting our new hall floor. So everything has moved to the small hall for the next 4 weeks. I don't think it'll take as long as four. Well, we're hoping it won't, but 4 weeks is the timeline that we've got put aside for it. So everything will be taking place in the small hall for that period. We're going to see how it works out for the first week. If not, we may need to then move a couple of groups to other venues, but we'll sort that out as we see how things progress. And the cafe will be on as normal after worship and in the small hall. Jigsaw is back next Sunday, and I think all the other intimations, again, the fun day, the 29th, there are slips you got inside your order of service today with all the details. So please, if you are able to attend that, we would love to see you there. We would. The rest of the intimations are for you to just read at your leisure. Thank you.
Thank you, Margaret. Can you hear me? Yeah. Good morning. How are we? It's so good to see you once again. I know it's been raining, but you're good that you still walked in here. Thank God and praise God for that. Announcements. Thank you, Margaret, for doing the announcements. Just addition to that, Monday Bible study. After a few weeks break, we are resuming our Bible study, and you're all welcome. If you have never attended our Bible study, you can still join, because we do things in segments. We are not doing one series. We're doing things in segment, and we're going to start a new segment from our book, which we can offer you. Please do come if you like to. See, there are a lot of things I assume you know. And sometimes I teach basic. Sometimes I go little deeper than things, because I believe you're all Christian and you're rooted, and you're Christian for a long enough time that you understand. So sometimes I skip the basics. But if you want to learn more about Bible, unfortunately, in my 10, 15, 20 minutes sermon, I cannot teach you all, which we do in Bible study. So please do take time. And that's the reason we do it Zoom, so that all can join from the comfort of their sofa. Please do join. If you don't want to say anything, if you don't want to even show your video, don't do that. But just join to listen, to ask, to learn, so we all learn together. On Tuesday, we are resuming our prayer section again, prayer group again, and Fraser from Release International is going to be sharing some things in there. Please do join again. That is on Zoom. If you could, please do come for that as well. Okay, that's us for the announcements. Now, I was thinking what to preach to you, which is always a dilemma for me. It's like, what should we have for dinner? Sometimes you have that confusion. What should we eat for dinner? And because sometimes we have a lot of choice, and for me, there is a lot of choice. I can preach and preach and preach from the Word of God, as you have imagined, but then it should make sense. The passage I've chosen is from lectionary, is from Matthew 15, and that passage has already always tormented me in my life, because that's, I believe, the most difficult passage in Matthew 15, when a Canaanite woman, a Gentile woman, came to Jesus and said, my daughter has been tormented by a demon. Can you please heal her? And Jesus first ignored him, and then his disciples come and said, get rid of her because she's shouting. And Jesus didn't say anything to her at first point. And then second sentence he said, the bread of the boys is not given to the dogs. And that was very offensive in our time, in that time as well. And I explained more. But then you can see the mercy of God. And then you see the persistence of this woman who has keep coming back to Jesus, looking for something no one else can offer. Do we have that faith strong enough, deep enough, to be like Canaanite women? Let's take a moment of silence. Prepare yourself to worship your God. Come, dear people of God, let us worship God. The psalmist says, praise the Lord, all you people, all who breathe, all who seek his mercy, come. For the Lord is the one who gathers the outcast, who opens his house to those once far off, who calls every nation to his mountain with joy. As Isaiah declares, my house shall be called the house of prayer for all people. So come as the women once came, with trust, with longing, with courage to draw near. And let us worship your God in truth and in spirit. Amen. Amen. Dear all, may I please request you all to stand, sing our first hymn, 456, Christ is the world's true light. Christ is the world's true light. Please be seated. Can you please join our hearts in prayer again? Holy God Almighty, you are the one who gathers the outcast, the people who believe shouldn't belong to us. But you are the one who calls every people to your mountain. The mountain, yes, we need to sometime climb. When we go weary, we get tired. But when we reach the summit, we know that it was your presence which strengthened us and now give us joy of your kingdom. Lord, it is you only who open your house to those once who are far off. And you welcome us with a mercy which is wider than anything we could ever earn by our own merits, Lord. So, Lord God Almighty, we adore you. We adore you for your faithfulness shown to us on the cross, for your compassion that never turns away a seeking heart, no matter where we are, and for the grace, Lord, the grace that meets us before we even know that we have to ask for it. Because there is nothing which can separate us from the love of God in his grace when we walk. Merciful Father, we thank you for all the privilege we enjoy belong to you. We thank you for all the mercies you have shown us from heaven. By the same time, merciful God, we confess that we so often draw lines you never drew. We hesitate, Lord, where you invite. We hold back where you call us to be united, to be call us one as a family. And we often forget how freely you have welcomed us and gave us the privilege to sit with you on your table. Forgive us, dear Father, when pride narrows our vision, when fear closes our hands, and when self-interest, Lord, keeps us from loving you and loving people as you have loved us. Forgive the words we should not have spoken at all. The kindness we failed to offer so often, and the trust we struggled to give it to others. Gather us again in your grace, O dear Lord, and teach us to come as the women once came, just being honest, humble, and ready to trust you. Gracious Father, we thank you for the welcome that reaches beyond every border, every household, every village, every town, every clan, every race, every color. For the hope you plant in every heart that turns towards you, and for the promises that your house is truly a house of prayer for all people. Now, Lord, we would like to pray for certain things. We especially would like to thank you for the children who are returning to school, for their energy, for their curiosity, for their courage. We pray for the people, those who are excited, the children who are excited, but those who are anxious. Keep them away from all the evil. Make them brave and make them courageous. And we pray for all who teach them, who guide them, and who care for them as well. Lord, we know that you are good, and you will always keep them safe. We thank you for the quiet blessing of this week and the bleak week which is coming for us, for the moments of rest, for conversation that encourage us, for the glimpse of your goodness woven through ordinary days. And all that we have is a gift, and we give you thanks with grateful hearts. Now, Lord, we also would like to join in the prayer you offer us as a gift to say together as a family and pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Now please request Wilma Gray to come forward and do the reading. Reading is from taken from Isaiah 56, chapter 56, verse 1, 6 to 8, and then Matthew 15, verse 21 to 28. A very well-known passages for you, and I'm sure Wilma will do justice with them.
First reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 56, verse 1 and verses 6 to 8, the covenant extended to all who obey. Thus says the Lord, maintain justice and do what is right, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance be revealed. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath and do not profane it, and hold fast my covenant. These I will bring to my holy mountain, and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Thus says the Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, I will gather others to them besides those already gathered. Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 to 28. The Canaanite woman's faith. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon. But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she keeps shouting after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. He answered, it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. She said, yes, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered her, woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed from that moment. Amen.
Wilma has done very good. Can we please all clap for Wilma, please? Properly, come on, you know, just properly. Good. The word of God is good and always good, no matter how offensive it could be. Now, if you... Laura Jane, bring up the Isaiah's verse. Verse 25, in chapter 45, verse 1, and then when you read it later on, this was the message to the Israelites who do not let anyone, the person who are outcast or not a Jew, because they believe the covenant is belong to between God and this chosen people. Here, Isaiah is writing and saying, listen, and the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be servant, all who keep the Sabbath and do not profane it, and hold fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make joyful to my house of prayer. Their burnt offering, their sacrifice will be accepted on my altar. Blasphemy. For Jews, that's what a blasphemy. They don't even let them enter into their territory. They don't go to their territory. They were not allowed to eat with them. They call Gentiles dogs. Though, when God asked Solomon to build the temple, he clearly said there will be a space for the Gentiles if they wish to come into the covenant to praise and worship God. But here these Israelites, because of their man-made rules and because they want to show priority and privilege and superiority over God, has made up a rule that this is not acceptable, that even Gentiles can enter into the temple. And that's the reason they made that place a corporate business place. And Jesus said, why do you make my father's house as a den of robbers? He wasn't speaking to these business owners. He was speaking to those Israelites who permit them, who gave them permission even to enter at the place of worship and do their business. Have you ever heard Jesus speaking to you in the same way? Have you ever heard that Jesus is asking you, you are sitting on the table, Jesus actually turned over? Anywho, come back to the passage. Here Jesus is speaking to this Canaanite woman. Now there is, every word in the Bible is, there is a reason, specific reason for it. Canaanite woman. She came to God, Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ was in the region of Tyre and Sidon. And she cried out, shouted. Now shout doesn't mean that she was angry and frustrated. No, she wanted to be heard because these Israelites never hear them. It was unseen. They were invisible to these people. He shouted out to the Lord, Lord, please, my daughter is suffering. Can you heal her? Jesus first ignored her. And then Jesus said to her, I have been sent to the lost sheep of Israel. Jesus didn't know the passage in Isaiah 25? I highly doubt that. Jesus does know that God even include foreigners into his covenant. But Jesus said, then one of the harshest Bible verse I believe in the Bible, that the bread of the boys, those who are covenanted, those who are inherited, those who are heirs, dogs have no worth to take any part in that, on that table, in the bread we cook for the hares. But can you see the taste? Can you see the persistence? Can you faith, which is deeply grounded in Son of David? And she come back again. I'm not saying God is pushing her. God is actually testing her. But the disciples coming to Jesus said, get rid of her. She doesn't belong to her. She don't have any part in us. She's not inherited in us. No, let her go away. Push her away, God. And when she's been pushed, passed from pillar to post, we call it, Jesus said, no, I have nothing to do with you. I've been called to for the sheep of this Israel. When she was tossed away, she keep bouncing back to Jesus Christ. Is it not, Lord? Is it not, Lord? Now, if I call you a dog here, I'm wearing this red shirt, right? I ironed this morning. I'm sure you will see me at the door holding my collar. How dare you? Is that right? You will. And I won't blame you, because no minister should call their congregation dog. But here Jesus calling a Canaanite woman a dog, and she's keep coming back with the humble heart, worshiping him, kneeling and said, please, Lord, isn't the crumbs which fall from the table of the son is taken by, eaten by the dogs? Now, dog, oh, that's a very bad term, isn't it? There are a lot of people get offended when the ministers like me or a lot of people say something. They stop coming to church because they don't like the building, they don't like the pews, they don't like somebody sitting next to them, they don't like a session clerk or an elder or a minister, and they just fall off and they never come back because the minister preached a sermon which they don't like, which doesn't fit to their criteria, their opinion. Isn't that right? I've heard so many people. Oh, this man never went to church because a minister once offended him. Well, they gave up on God, as if God pushed them out. No. We get so touchy when it comes to the point of the covenant of God, as if it's a contract with God. You can't even come out of a contract from Vodafone or your Netflix. Here, we break the contract with God as if it was nothing. Is that right? But here the word dog is used very specifically in this Bible verse when Jesus called it. You see, in India, I grew up with a lot of dogs. Big dogs, small dogs. At one point, I have a Great Dane. I had a Bull Mastiff. I had a boxer, because you know why? My grandpa had a business, and he used to breed the dogs, and I used to get a puppy from there. You know, my brother is sitting here. We always grew up in almost one or two dogs in our house. Our houses were like zoo. But dogs specifically in India, we don't treat them as pet. They're not family member. Here you treat them as a family member, don't you? We keep them outside because they are there to protect us. They have a job to do. And when they get old, my grandpa had a one pet. His name was Raja. Raja means king. Okay? And I love that dog. As soon as I come to my grandpa's house, the first thing I do is run and see Raja. One day, he was getting old, and my uncle shot him. He threw him in the river and shot him. That's what they do. In India, what do you think? They're not going to spend £500 to euthanize that thing. No. Because there was a purpose, and Raja was doing the purpose. Now, Raja, the dog, he's won a lot of championship. Okay? He won a lot of championships as well. But one day when he got old, he has nothing to do, he has no use of my grandpa, my uncle took him and shot him. I'm sorry I'm saying that to you. But this is how the world treats dogs. In India, I love dogs, I always loved them. And in India, you know, I love army dogs because they are very trained and everything. Or police dogs, you know, they are good. But you know, police or army will never give you the dog. A civilian will never get a dog. You know what they do? No matter what age they are, as soon as their purpose is solved, what they do, they will go and shoot them. That's the normal procedure. This is how the world treated the dog. See, when God is speaking, talking, say, and told her that you are a dog, he didn't say you are a dog, but he says the bread of the boys is not passed on to the Gentiles. Jesus used a word, krunos, a Greek. You know what that word is? His word is the pet dog who is loved, stand under the table of the Roman table. That's the word God used, Jesus used, okay? And there is another word for the dog who are running the pack, who destroy, who are scavengers, who doesn't come into covenant of family. Jesus showed his mercy to this woman even when he called her dog and adopted her into the kingdom. When he said, "Women, your faith has brought you in. You were outsider, but now you're in." Now you think, that's strange. Why would you do that? No. All of you are Scottish here. Let me tell you a story. Well, that's not a story. That's a tradition. That's the law. Have you heard about the clan chief of Fraser of Lovett? You belong to clans, isn't it? At some point, right? Some of you are Ferguson, some of you are, what? Say your clan name. Sorry? Okay, whatever clan you belong to. There was a time when there was a problem in Highlands. Now, Highlands, as you know, winter is really harsh. Not a lot of money, not a lot of places to reap and sow or anything like that. So Fraser of Lovett, the people come to him who were dying of starving or because they need protections and everything. And he gave them 6 bushel of wheat and gave them his name. Bessets, Fergusons, so many of the different clans join Fraser as a clan because they pledge to obey and commit and come to the covenant with that. So I'm not talking about far. Adoption theory is not far away. It is the adoption theory which even we have used, and it was used for years and years. And now once you become the Fraser, no matter what clan you belong to, now you belong to Fraser. You have all the privilege, all the security, all the food, all the place as a Fraser. And no one will see you that you come from the other clan. They treat you as a heir of Fraser. That's what God has done for you and for me, my dear friends. He shed his blood for you and for me. So once we were dogs, we were nothing. An insignificant person become a significant person because he lift them up from under the table and let them sit on the chair as an inheritance, as a heir of who belong to God. That is the God we serve, my dear friend. So I struggled with this passage for almost all my life. But when I go deep into it, I could see the glory, the mercy, the grace of God pouring out from this passage, even to the women he was supposed to be harsh. We look at harsh, but he was true to his people and true. Now, there is one thing I would like to say before I finish. People think that God's love is unconditional. How many of you think God's love is unconditional? All of us? Go read John 3:16 and then 17 and then 18. God so loved the world that he gave his son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life, right? But if you read 17, 18, 19 verse, it tells anyone who belongs to Christ, you need to be inside Christ. God's love is unconditional, but the conditional is that you need to be in Jesus Christ. If you don't have Jesus, you will be treated like a dog. And dog has nothing but death in the end once you do the service. We are still slaves of our government, of our society, of our school, because sometimes we think we have freedom, but we don't. The freedom God can offer through his own inheritance is the only way we can become a child of God. Let's all stand and sing our next hymn. Our next hymn is 193, God is love, he's the care. Thank you. Please be seated. Now, how many of you owns a dog? Yeah? You love it, isn't it? We love dogs so much that there is a research been done that in the Western world especially, people are replacing their kids with dogs. The couples who don't get married or get married, they would rather have a dog because dog will obey them. God can stay in the crate. When they go away on a holiday, they can put them in someone's supervision and go away. You can't do this with children, can you? Children will offend you. Children will come a point when they shout on you, when they don't obey you. So dogs are very important for us. Dogs are companion. Dogs are your partner. Dogs are there for you. Now for us, for me, dogs were never like that until I moved here. Now I know my dog. I know some people say, why you have so big dog? He's like a lion, right? If you have seen my dog. But I love everything big, okay? I love big cars. I love big things. And my brother will tell you that when I was growing up, I love big jackets and big trousers. And everything I used to wear was, if I'm large, I will buy XL. I love everything big. You know? In India, when you eat your food, whatever is left over is given to dog. Here you have to buy food for him, isn't it? My dog eats and 150 pounds is just the food for him. In India, you will never do that because you're not treated as a family member. But for me, it was eye-opening because how we treat our pets here. Now, there's a moment every dog owner knows, my dear friends. The children sit at the table. Even though you love them so much, there is something you cannot do. You don't let them sit with children. Because dogs are not your children. They don't belong to your inheritance. They are not in your covenant. Yes, you have a contract with them, but they are not under your covenant. So every dog owner knows that children sit at the table and the dog waits underneath, eyes fixed on your food, hoping for a crumb. Then as soon as the crumbs fall, they will come and grab it. And I understand that. I don't let my dog do it, but some of you do. It's not, they don't have a right on that meal. You ask your children, what do you like for tonight? You don't ask your dog, what would you eat tonight? Well, some of you and some of us, I would say, talk to our dog and our cats. But Mary always say, the day Aslan will reply you, you'll be so surprised because so many times you speak to him. But they have no right on your meal. They have no seat. They don't have claim on your food or anything on your table. But they just hope. They just hope that they'll be treated. Jesus chose that picture deliberately, my friend. As I always say, he always do things deliberately. Once you see it, you cannot unsee it, which I'm about to explain to you. Matthew tells us that Jesus walked into the district of Tyre and Sidon. Gentile territory, my dear friends, enemy territory, cursed territory. They were not allowed to go there, especially the Jews. Isaiah and Ezekiel thunder judgment against those cities in Old Testament, if you read. Yet the Son of God, our Jesus, stepped into that ground on purpose. On purpose, he went to see something which is important, and I believe that important was that Canaanite woman. As the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman said that he didn't come to fetch the water, he came to fetch me. Not in the Bible, but that's what I would guess. Ezekiel and Isaiah put the judgment on that city. He's walking in that cursed city, not by accident, my friend, not because he was lost in some way, lost his way. He goes there to meet one woman. Nobody else would have gone looking for her, not at all. Because first she was Gentile, second she was woman. And nobody cares about them at all. No matter what they are going through, what darkness they are walking, nobody cares. That is the kind of Savior we serve, though, who will always look for you and show his light in our darkness. And when we were lost, he will come to find us. He will cross every border. None of us will try to cross that borders, my dear friend. And this is not the first time Jesus broke or the God broke the borders, my dear friend. Centuries earlier, if you need to understand that, go in the history of the Judaism of God. Centuries earlier, Elijah was sent into this same region. And that's the reason Jesus is now this region. And when he's there, Elijah, if you read that Bible, Elijah was sent into the same region to a widow of Zarephath near Sidon during a famine brought by Israel's disobedience, Israel's unbelief. God fed a Gentile widow when his own covenant people refused his words, my dear friend. God sent Elijah to this Gentile woman specifically to go and feed her and take care of the time of famine. God loved Gentiles even then, even at that point. Grace was already leaking out of Israel long before Israel even realized it, my dear friends. You know why? Because God welcomed all in Jesus Christ. Into that territory comes a woman shouting. And as I said, she wasn't shouting because of anger or because she was frustrated or there was something else going on. Yes, the emotion must be running out from her, but she shouted out because nobody was hearing her the way she wanted to be heard. She shouted out, and listen to this very carefully. She said, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of God. My daughter is tormented by a demon." Hear her words, my friend. It's very important. Son of David, she said. A Jewish title, a Masonic title. She has no covenant with God. She has no pedigree. She has nothing to do with the covenant of God. And she has no part in the inheritance of God. And she still called him Son of David. She has no covenant, no promise, no nothing. She belongs to them. Yet she named Jesus more accurately than the crowds in the Israel ever did. They refused to call him Son of God. They refused to call him Son of David because they knew the Son of David would be the Messiah of the world. But she has knowledge. But more than that, she has faith and trust. She believes he is who he says he is, that he is Son of God. And she has trust. She throw herself on his mercy. That is the real faith. That is the real faith demonstrated from the mouth of a Gentile woman and by her action. But here at this moment, my dear friend, Jesus says nothing. Why? Always confused me. Always bothered me, these verses. Verse 23 is one of the most searching verses in the Bible, my dear friend, in the gospel especially, because it says, "But he did not answer her at all." Jesus almost ignored her. You wouldn't expect this from Jesus, would you? That sometimes it happens in our life. But he did not answer her. Same way Jesus was, some say Jesus was unsure. When I was doing the research, I read few sermons, and people, liberals, especially the woke ministers, will say Jesus didn't know what he was doing. He was confused. He don't want to be challenged. He was still trying to find his mission in those fields. No. Are we talking about the same Jesus we find in the Bible? No. Jesus is always in control. We are talking about through whom all things were made, who upholds the universe by the word of his power. He does not learn on job, my dear friends. His silence is never confusion. It is his sovereignty. Isn't it? He's never out of control, not for that moment, not where her daughter was tormented, and not for your life too. He is speaking. But when he's silent, there is a reason for it. The silence was a test for this woman. Silence was a test to see if she is willing to trust Jesus with her own heart. Silence exposed what kind of faith you and me have, my dear friends. Anyone can pray when heaven feels open, isn't it? When God is in front of them, yes. But when God seems quiet, when your prayers echo back unanswered, when the darkness does not lit or lift, that is where real faith either collapses or grow its roots. When God is silent, what do? A lot of people say, "Oh, I know there is no God, and I hate him." Have you heard this atheist saying that? "Oh, God never answered me. Oh, God never did anything to me." You know why? Because they wanted God to do something as per their own will instead of the will of God. And when God do not answer, they leave the church, they leave God, and they become atheists because God never answered them. It's a test, my dear friend, sometime. Silence is sometime a test. Where is your roots of faith? Are you shallow water, or you're willing to go deep in the warmth and in the light of Christ? Listen to this woman. She keeps coming back. She keeps coming back. She kneels. She worships him. She does not merely shout. She bows to the Lord and says, "Lord, please help me." And Jesus speaks the hardest verse in the Bible, in the passage, my dear friend. "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dog." Oh, how dare you? We would say that, don't we? How dare you call me dog? How dare? I'm just asking you to heal my daughter. If you can't do it, let me know. She could have said that, isn't it? We would get offended if real Jesus would stand in front of our door. We would say that. How dare you call me dog? And I am not going to soften it, my dear friend. Jesus' words were harsh. Yes, it was. But Jesus wasn't insulting her. He is revealing theology, a very deep theology here. Outside of Christ, none of us has a claim of the Father's table. Simple. That's a deep theology. That's what I'm trying to preach to you for the last 3 months. That out of Jesus, we have no claim in on Father's table. We are dogs. Outside of Christ, none of us have anything. Paul says, we were once, listen to this carefully, stranger to the covenant of promise. Promise what? That Jesus Christ's blood will save you. We were strangers to it, without hope, without God in the world. We were strangers. We were alien. Dogs. That's what who we are. That is what we deserve apart from the grace. Because this is how God, this is how world will treat you. Because they don't show grace and mercy. They have strict discipline for you. If you're worthy, if you're serving them, they'll treat you. But the day you find out, the day you are good, nothing and no good for them, they might shoot you. Look how they treat you. It's kept for what we can do. If you can guard, if you can fetch, if you can serve, when it cannot serve, it is cast aside. Simple. The world treats people with the same way, valued only for youth, strength, productivity. This is how the world teaches you. This is how our government teaches you. This is how our corporate world teaches you. You are an object, a number, a taxpayer to them, and nothing else. You stop paying your tax, next day they will be at your door. Right? And they might cuff you. They might take you and put you in a prison because you are not obeying your master. Once you cannot serve, you are not at the table. You are forgotten. This is a slavery to this modern world, my dear friends. And we think we are free. We are never free. But God does something the world never does. He does not leave the dog under the table hoping for scraps. He adopts them. Under Roman law, my dear friends, an adopted son had every debt cancelled. And in Roman world, not a child can be adopted, but a young adult man can be adopted with lot of debt. And as soon as you've been adopted in the family, all your debts are cancelled or paid by the father. And you know what? You are more secure when you've been adopted in this family as a more than a natural born child. A father can abandon a natural born child, but an adopted son can never be adopted because he's been bought by the blood. Paul chooses that words very carefully. He said, you have received the spirit of adoption. That's what who we are. We have received the spirit of adoption, heirs of God, and joined heirs with Christ Jesus. What else would you want? And here does not crouch under the table, my dear friend, does he? And here sits on the table, at the table, and here eats with the same dish as the son, and here shares everything the father owns. The inheritance kept for Christ becomes ours, not by effort, not by worthiness, nor but by blood. Because the Bible says, God loves you the same way he loves his son, Jesus Christ. The same way. The dog under the table and the son at the head of it are separated only by adoption. And the Father has done exactly that for everyone who is in Christ Jesus. Unconditional love when you walk in Jesus Christ. That's what unconditional love means. Now watch the woman. Come back to her. She does not argue when Jesus said something very harsh to her. She agrees to God. She agrees with him. She said, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs ate the crumbs that fall from the master's table. She go more low than even argue with God. She comes low and become very honest to God. She said, I know, Lord, that I'm a dog. I'm not worthy of your grace. But will you be please willing to extend it? She come on his own term, not her terms. She come with his terms, not her terms. She does not negotiate the menu because there are so many options. There are no options. Christians can make an exclusive claim that Jesus Christ is the only Savior. She does not demand a seat on the table. She just requests. She simply trusts the Master's goodness, that Master is good enough to treat me as a hare, not as a dog. That is a pattern for all of us, my dear friend. I wish I can have that faith. We do not enter his kingdom by coming however we feel comfortable. No. Dressed in our own righteousness? No. On our own schedule? No. With our own conditions? No. Sorry. We come kneeling. We come worshiping. We come trusting Christ as he is. Not as we would remake him as per our own choice. And so many Christians do that, make that mistake. And I'm sorry to say, we don't even know what Christ is, and I'm going to preach going forward who Jesus is actually. Because so many of us don't know. Only those who worship him on his term ever taste his table. Simple. And here is something that should humble every one of us. Search the gospel and you'll find there are only two people whom Jesus ever said, "Great is your faith." Do you know who these people were? Not a disciple, not a Pharisee, not a Jew. No, there are only two people. Do you know who they were? Woman touches garment. Well, she was Jew. The Roman centurion and this Canaanite woman. The Roman centurion and Canaanite woman. Two people in the Bible who's been told. You're right, he extended his grace to that woman as well. Centurion, Roman centurion, and the Canaanite woman. Great is your faith. Only these two. Two outsiders, my dear friends. Two dogs by the world's reckoning, isn't it? Two people with no pedigree, no privilege, at place at the table, commanded above everyone else. That's what God has done to them. It does not. If that does not humble you, I don't know what can be. He extended his grace to you and to me. Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed that very hour. If you wanted to be healed, you need to come to not your term, but his term, and he will heal you. Isaiah 56 promised this long before, my dear friends. As I said, Jesus extended, "My house shall be called a prayer for all people who are in Christ. I will gather others to them beside those already gathered," God said. God has always been gathering outsiders, always breaking borders, always pulling in the people his own children would have left out, even you and me. And sometimes we do. Now here is the challenge, as always, I present it to you. The question you should ask yourself: where have you drawn borders God never drew? Where have you decided who is worthy of grace of you and God? Where have you resisted coming low before Christ, like this woman? Where has God been silent in your life? And have you stopped praying? Or will you kneel again like this woman and say, "Lord, please help me"? Who is in your life stands outside the borders of your comfort? Who have you quite decided is too far gone, too messy, too unlikely? God may be walking into that territory right now, my dear friends. Are you willing? Her daughter was tormented by a demon. You know why? Because evil is real, and so it is now. Darkness is real, but Christ's authority is greater. Greater than every evil. Are you interceding for those who cannot fight for themselves? Are you even interceding for yourself? And if you're not, you should. The world may still call you a dog, my dear friend, because that's what your worth is for them. Rahab, who rescued and joined the covenant of God, in Hebrews 11, still called harlot, long after her rescue. But at the Father's table, kneeling like this woman, worshiping him as he asked, you are no longer a slave, a dog fetching for scraps, my dear friends. You are an heir, adopted, secure, fed by his grace, healed again and again as you come to him. So come God's table, my dear friend, the way she came, this woman came, not with a claim, but with the faith in him who alone can say, "Let it be done." Is God saying to you, "Let it be done, my son and my daughter, because now you're not a dog. You belong to me, and I love you, and you're worthy to be died for." He made you worthy by the cross, on the cross, by shedding his blood. And that's a privilege. God love you all, and God bless you all. Thank you. Can we all stand, if you're willing, and sing our next hymn? God, may our church reflect your grace. Now, these wordings may look different to you and from Jabdu GA, but Audrey is going to play a familiar tune so you will all know and you'll be all able to sing. Thank you. Please be seated. Now, please request Stephen to come forward and lead us in prayer.
Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for showing us your great mercy and compassion, and for loving us so much that you sent Jesus to die for us. We thank you for the new life you have given us in Christ Jesus, and for the many blessings we enjoy each day. We pray that through this service today we may hear your voice more clearly and put into practice the things you are challenging us to do. May we be encouraged to share freely from our abundance with others who need it. May we use the gifts and grace you have given us to help change the lives of those you have placed around us, and may they see your love in us. We pray for those who are on the outside, that they may be welcomed in and accepted by others. We pray for those on the outside of our society, those who are homeless, those who struggle with addiction, those whose lifestyles make them seen as different. Help us to show them Christ's love and to see them as Jesus does. As you welcome the stranger and the outcast, may our churches do the same. We remember those who are mourning at this time, those who are lonely or in despair. We pray for those who are struggling with illness of body, mind, or spirit. For those who are unable to participate fully in community life due to their health, may they know your love and your healing, and may they be restored to life. We pray for wisdom for those who are in leadership in our church, for those who lead and teach in church and in groups, and those who humbly serve others. We bring before you all those who attend our services and our groups, that they may experience the power of God and find comfort, encouragement, guidance, and challenge for their daily lives. We pray for our politicians that they would deserve our trust in them by looking to God for guidance and showing justice in their practice and decisions. We pray for peace in our world, and especially that the conflict in Ukraine, Gaza, Lebanon, and Iran would end soon. We remember the people made homeless and helpless by these conflicts. We pray also today for the many thousands affected by the earthquakes and other natural disasters throughout the world. We pray, Father, you would guide us in our prayers and increase our faith. Help us to spend more time with you and to experience your peace and to become more like Jesus in our Christian life. A prayer for today. Almighty God, you have broken the tyranny of sin and sent into our hearts the Spirit of your Son. Give us grace to dedicate our freedom to your service, that all people may know the glorious liberty of the children of God through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Stephen, for the prayer. My dear, can we all stand once again and sing our closing hymn, 216, Build a Longer Table, Not a Higher Wall. Again, this might be a new hymn, but the tune will be very familiar for you. So let's all stand and sing.
Build a longer table.
Can you please remain standing while we pray for our offering? Generous God, you are the one who gathers people from every place and calls us into your house with joy. All we have comes from your hand, Lord, and that's the reason we belong to you. The strength we use, the time we are given, the resources we hold, Father, it's all belong to you. So please take what we offer now in this plate and in many other ways we have offered to you and to your people. Not because it is large, but because it is given in trust to you. Use these gifts to widen your welcome, to lift those who feel forgotten, to bless the children in our communities, and to build a church where all can find a place at your table. Receive what we bring, Lord, and shape our hearts to be as open as yours. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's receive the blessing of God. Go now in strength of God Jesus, who gathers the outcast, in the mercy of Christ, who welcomes all who seek him, and in the peace of the Spirit, who leads you home. May the one who calls every people to his mountain steady your steps, open your hands, and fill your days with grace. May the blessing rest upon you now, today, tomorrow, and forever and ever.
Amen.
Please be seated. This morning when I wore this shirt, some people asked me, why, Harrison, you're wearing this red, bright shirt? And I said, it's a warning because I'm going to preach a fiery message. Well, I hope it wasn't a fiery message for you, because under his grace, we belong to him. And the children don't get offended when their parents rebuke them, do they? Well, I think in today's generation, they do a little bit, but not in your and my generation. When Father rebukes us, you learn, and you learn and obey and stay in his covenant, because this is not a contract which will be broken, my friend. It's been sealed by the blood of Christ, and he walked in and through for you and for me, through that fire, through that darkness, so he can bring light in our lives. God bless you all. Go ahead in a week, where you invite people, those who you consider once as dog, on your table. Because we were all once a dog. But by grace of Christ, we belong to him on his table. God bless you all.